Alan.
Grez.
Here. And welcome to Rise of the Robots. Just before the start of the episode, just a quick reminder that if you want to hear our dulcet tones elsewhere, well, good luck finding it with Grez, because he's not on a podcast at the moment. He's mine! All mine!
Yep, I've actually just had the gag taken out of my mouth and the handcuffs taken off just so I can record this.
And meanwhile, if you want to hear me elsewhere, you can listen to the DCAU podcast, where Rebecca and I discuss DC animated movies.
And on the occasion, you can find me there. If you miss me.
I'm Alan.
I'm Grez.
And you're listening to Rise of the Robots. This week we are covering Robot Wars, Extreme Warriors, Season 2, Heat G.
That's me. That's me there.
It is indeed the U letter. In fact, we start the first fight off with a G robot.
Yes. From Virginia, G-Force.
So G-Force is a wedge with a pair of axes, which it certainly looks fairly put together.
Mm-hmm.
Black with, and it's kind of got, what's it called? The dissector. It's got the dissector axes, like a side axis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I suppose they're axes. Yeah, well, they say they're axes, but like I feel like they're also spikes.
We don't see them do any axing, but...
No.
But they are axes.
So they claim.
Yes.
From Wisconsin, General Champs-a-Lot 2.
So this is probably one of the robots we've seen most out of the guys in this... in this series, because obviously we've seen them in previous series of Robot Wars. We have also seen them in Robotica. So This is a little bit more designed for combat, I think. And the previous one was a lot more kind of general use, whereas this is a lot more specialized. It is set up with the jaws are now designed to damage as opposed just to clamp.
Mm-hmm. Because definitely, like, General Champs-a-Lot from the last season was just the one from Robotica.
Uh-huh.
And it was clearly built for Robotica. So.
Not the only robot to suffer from that problem.
Indeed.
In fact, not even the only team from its tag team to suffer this problem. I'm sorry. We love you. But.
But we'll get to that. Yeah, because even they mentioned that the jaws, like when they clamped down on things, they couldn't really do anything. But yeah, so Champs-a-Lot 2, more bigger, beefier, bitier than ever before. And their opponent from Oregon, the Marauder.
Yeah. So the Marauder is a little bit dinky.
It's a little bit lighter.
It is half the weight of the other competitors.
Yes.
So the actual robot itself... See, here's the thing. If it was twice the weight that it was, it would actually be quite an efficient opponent. It's a low-to-the-ground dome robot, wedgelets on the side, and its top is a spinning arm.
Hmm. Kind of gives me Mauler-ish kind of vibes, except obviously the whole shell doesn't move, but...
Yeah.
Something along those lines.
So, the start of this battle is a little bit last day of school. It's three robots just kind of charging round in generally the directions of their opponents.
It's like a weird mosh pit.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, like, none of these three have, like, particularly the best weaponry. Obviously, probably the best one would be the Marauder with the spinning thing.
But... Well, you say that, but the spinning thing gets ripped off.
It sure does.
Because that's the one issue you do have. Chomsaw is basically just running over the top of everything.
Yeah, he's doing his best Monster Jam impression.
Unfortunately, it does kind of cause his... almost his own downfall, because he gets stuck on top of G-Force.
Mm-hmm.
And then at one point... it rams over the top of Marauder. What happens is Chomp-Salot then, as it's trying to get to G-Force, it gets stuck on top of Refbot.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, it gets stuck on top of G-Force as it's being counted out on top of the Floor Flipper.
Yep.
And you can see everyone the kind of going, yeah?
Yeah? Then Refbot comes in and goes, excuse me.
Yeah.
Out of the way, General Chomps a lot. Yeah, but like the whole thing that I thought about this was Marauder looked like it was dead well before G-Force died. Like that thing was struggling after the initial first 30 seconds.
Yeah.
But because G-Force just decided to die mm-hmm. in the middle of a fight, the Marauder just won a match.
And there's this really disappointing thing, which is, as I said, you've got this thing of, oh, they're both going to get floor flipped, they're both going to get, oh, Refbot.
Oh, come on.
Now, is it the case, were they concerned the floor flipper wouldn't work?
I don't know. Because I feel like we've seen robots significantly bigger be floor flipped.
Yeah.
Maybe it was just like one of those things of fairness or whatever where, oh, well, Chomp-Salot's still an active competitor. We can't floor flip him.
Right, okay.
That's just a theory.
Oh... Please, as much as I love his videos and as much as I love the Five Nights at Freddy movie, that bit made me groan.
No, that was the best bit. I marked the fuck out.
No, Matthew Lillard in the spoiler alert costume at the end was the best bit.
No, what the best bit was is after he stabbed, spoilers, his daughter and then done the fucking blade wipe a la Scream. That was the best bit.
Yeah. Anyway, spoilers for a movie that, let's be honest, anyone who's going to watch that movie has already watched it.
Mm-hmm.
No one is casually going into Five Nights at Freddy's.
Yeah.
And in the car, they're going to be going, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah, pretty much anybody that has any interest in Five Nights would have already known, like, enough backstory to want to go see it. It's not a casual movie. It's full of references.
Yeah. Anyway, we're getting on to the subject, which is kind of indicative of the quality of an episode.
Mm.
Because next up we've got the second freeway.
Yes. From Texas, Lightning Tracks.
Which is a nice looking robot.
Yes. Sure.
it's not a very effective robot, but it does look kind of pretty, and it looks like a tank.
Mm-hmm. That's points for tanks. There is a lot of military-related...
It's America. They spend half their money on the military.
Mm. From California, Destructive Criticism.
Wait a minute, from, did you say from Long Beach, California?
I just summarize it to California, to be honest.
I mean, if it is from Long Beach, does this mean when it retires, a 70-year-old is randomly going to appear again?
That, or is it going to open up its own beach shop?
Anyway, Destructive Criticism is a four-wheel horizontal spinner bot.
Mm-hmm.
Which, at first glance, you kind of go, that disc isn't going to do anything. Boy, was I wrong.
Yeah. Yep, I was pretty skeptical.
Mm-hmm.
I know, and it is unfortunate, like, as per having this on in the background, on silent. Lightning Trek's, like, zooming in at the arena, it does look pretty badass.
Yeah.
And then it's just unfortunate that, like, literally as soon as Activate hits, it does not move anymore.
Yeah. So anyway, we...
Their final opponent from Oregon, Runaway.
This hurts to say, because obviously we've had Mark on the show,
mm-hmm.
and we love the robot, and we love the team.
Mm-hmm.
This robot's not a combat robot.
Mm-hmm.
Or rather, it's not a combat robot that could exist in the era that it's fighting in.
Yeah, I think that's probably the best way to put it.
And it's unfortunate because of the season 2 looking robots, it is by far the best.
Mm-hmm.
It's still fantastically engineered. I think it's reasonably well driven, but it just, the problem is it's a robot that would have been successful in an era before discs were really effective.
Oh yeah, definitely. Like, yeah, because, I mean, again, as we kind of alluded to, it was built with Robotica in mind, and so with Robotica in mind, Runaway would have been perfect for season 2 of Robot Wars.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I can't remember, is it this episode or the next episode, Mick Foley basically takes a dig at Robotica?
Oh, yeah, yeah, it's... He's done that a few times, and there's always the same line. But, yeah, like, he definitely says that again. Like, just the whole, there's no mazes, there's no obstacle courses. And it's like, well, you don't remember that, like, Robot Wars has the history of mazes and obstacle courses?
Yeah.
But if we go on to the actual fight itself, it starts with poor little Lightning Trek stuck in the middle, and then just Destructive Criticism and Runaway just swarming it like a bunch of vultures.
The thing is, I wonder, does Lightning Trek have an entanglement weapon? Because it has the ropes at the front. Were they intended as an entanglement weapon, or were they just decoration?
Maybe a little from column A, a little from column B.
Doesn't really matter.
Now,
what then happens, Runaway then... knowing that its strength fear is going to be its pushing power, triggers the pit. It then mm-hmm. goes to push Lightning Track. Unfortunately, it pushes it by mounting the front of it and leaving itself exposed.
Some more Monster Jam inspired action.
And... unfortunately, actually, we'll call
this one Hot Wheels.
Destructive Criticism takes full advantage and lays waste to quarter of the machine.
Yeah, it was just the way that the wheels were exposed at just the perfect angle where the disc could just come right in and just numb off a wheel it's rare.
I hated this because it's like when you see someone's ankle twisting in the boot. Stop doing that to my friend!
Sid Vicious, 2001.
Yes, pretty much. Ugh. But anyway, so eventually, what's left of Runaway comes off the top of LT. LT's long dead.
Yep.
And it's the only thing that saves Runaway.
Yeah. But then, the best part, because Runaway can't run away, Lightning Trax gets mounted onto the floor flipper and just gets flipped right over Runaway.
Yes!
That bit amused me highly.
Yeah.
Then Trax gets flipped, as we says, and pitted.
Yep. Hi, Alan here, just taking a quick break from the action. Grizz and I would like to thank a couple of the people that made this podcast possible. First, we would like to thank Greg Watt for the logo.
Our theme song is also by Technomax. You can find their music online at YouTube. That's just search for Technomax.
That's Technomax spelled T-E-K-N-O-A-X-E.
So Runaway lives to fight on another day.
It'd be really horrible if they were then told, oh no, now you have to fight your tag team partner.
Oh no! They did!
So yeah, it is General Chompslot versus Runaway, the two Robotica alumni.
Mm-hmm. The thing with me is, like, after this, we know that there is another tag team Terror. If they're in it together, can they coexist?
I mean, of course they can. They're both very nice, reasonable teams.
But can they coexist?
Just going to double check something very quickly.
Okay, well, while you do that, I will inform you that the Burger King logo is
no,
back.
No! General Chompslot has a different tag team partner.
Betrayal!
It's not even a it's not even an improvement, it's the Termite.
Ugh. Oh dear.
And we don't even have, because I was like, well, maybe it's going to be Runaway and The Gap, but no, we don't even get that.
That would have been ideal.
That would have been lovely. Who knows, maybe this was Runaway. I get the impression Runaway was maybe cobbled together a bit. That's what happens when half the robot gets ripped apart.
Mm.
Runaway knows it's got one shot, and that's the pit. Unfortunately, the second they press the pit button, they turn, and Chompslot is waiting for the ambush.
Mm-hmm. So we get the intro of Runaway backstage, and... Team Runaway have these awesome, like, Robot Wars style Mickey Mouse ears.
Yes!
I'll have three pairs, please.
Yeah.
F/when he listens to this, send them. I assume they were homemade, because I never see anybody else with them.
Wouldn't surprise me.
Send them. And General Chompslot is Chompslot.
It just smashes Runaway side on. A chain goes flying out straight away.
Yeah.
Runaway is stuck on its side on the wall, and then the most terrifying sight you can imagine awaits them. Because Bash and Dead Metal are lining it up.
Oh yeah, we talked about vultures in one of the last fights. This is taking that to a whole new level. But then, even so much so that the two of them were so excited that they collided with each other.
And Dead Metal knocked out.
It gets knocked out?
You don't say it. Dead Metal goes limp. Refbot shoves them away.
I can see it now. Yeah, he doesn't move. It's like this. I noticed the saw was still moving, so I can see it now. I did not notice that before.
And then Chompslot decides, no. I'm playing with... That's my friend. I get to play with his corpse.
Mm-hmm. Only I may kill my friend.
And it ends at one point, the two of them, Bash and Chompslot, are having a tug of war.
And it's just this bit where, like, it finally Chompy, like, gets a grip of Runaway and then literally starts to run away with it. It's like, no, you can't play with this anymore. I'm out of here.
Yeah.
But this was very entertaining. Like, yeah, considering the match ended as quickly as it did, so like the kind of aftermath like really made up for it.
Yeah.
Well, Dead Metal just dies in the corner. I can't believe I never noticed that.
So.
That was amusing. So, yep, Chumpsalot finally pits Runaway and moves on to the final.
Mm-hmm.
And the post interviews, Foley interviews Aaron, and Aaron says, "No, it's okay, we're friends."
That is because they are extremely nice people.
Mm-hmm.
This is the thing that I don't. It's one of the things I like about Robot Wars when they're not gimmicking up. Is it is nice to actually see a competition where everyone seems to respect each other.
Hmm. Well, maybe not all the time. Even if sometimes it's just a bit gimmicky, but we'll get to that.
Yeah.
But what we'll get to now is the Marauder versus Destructive Criticism.
Oh, boy. Oh, no. Marauder very quickly realizes, oh, I am severely outmatched.
Yeah, because that's the thing. It's like they kept saying, "Oh yeah, our robots have the size, but we think we can still beat any of them." It's like, do you though?
They do go for it, and then after all that, oh no, no.
Because the question here is, do you think like the result would have been any different if it was what's the spot that was in it? Scroll up, please. Thank you. G-Force?
I don't know.
Yeah, I wouldn't really say that the result would be any different, in all honesty.
Yeah. Anyway, Marauder almost gets lucky here, though.
Mm-hmm.
Because Destructive Criticism randomly drives into the Grinder.
Mm.
And gets stuck, and there's this moment there's no way Marauder's winning this.
Yeah. There was a few instances during this fight where I was thinking, like, oh no, not this way. It was just throughout the fight, like closer to the end, it just felt as if Destructive Criticism was just it would come in and then it would stop.
Yeah, it does this a few times. Basically, anytime it hits the wall, it kind of goes, owie, owie, owie. I'm fine.
Shake it off. Okay, here we go. Ow. I know, it's...
And then Marauder actually loses half of its weapon. I don't know what it catches it on, but it just... If it's dead metal or the wall or...
But yeah, it's like, it's all kind of came round to one side. So it looks like a kind of pair of, like, antennas or something.
And then finally falls
off.
And then eventually, Destructive Criticism does feed Marauder to the pit. It feeds it in the direction and then Marauder finishes the job for them.
Yeah, it just kind of goes, boo! And then Marauder goes, ah! Oh, no, a hole! Yeah, it's not going to be the last time that we see that either.
Yeah. So we have a final of General Chompsalot versus Destructive Criticism, which is two military uniform teams.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Let's just say this does not last long.
Oh, no.
In fact, I think that sense of me saying, let's just say... this doesn't last long, lasted longer than the fight did. So here we go, Big Pomp and Stan's final. General Chompsalot, Destructive Criticism. The two come at each other. And then they both stop.
Right, okay, it's slightly more nuanced. What happens is General Chompslock tanks a hit from the weapon.
Mm-hmm.
It goes dead. Destructive Criticism then goes in for a second hit. When it goes for that hit, the chain for their weapon flies off. And then there's this moment of, like, Destructive Criticism has, again, the same thing, this sort of, ow.
Is there anything broken?
I'm fine.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing would be that even if both of them did get counted out, Criticism would probably still win, just purely for the fact that it was moving slightly longer. But even then, I was genuinely surprised that there wasn't going to be, you know, sometimes they occasionally do that whole, oh, the judges have asked for a rematch.
No, I mean, it's quite clear out of the two who's winning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Criticism comes back alive at the perfect moment, because it's funny, like, see if you actually watch RefBot, he starts the count and then Criticism moves and it resets.
Yeah, it's, do you know what it looks like?
Hmm.
Have you ever seen the first Tyson Fury Deontay Wilder fight?
Where
out of nowhere, Tyson Fury goes from being knocked out to suddenly in like 3 seconds, he's up.
Oh shit!
It's that kind of, I'm fine.
Yeah, it's just like the body's acting before the brain is telling it to.
Oh no, I love that bit because it's more Deontay Wilder's face of, what the fuck do I have to do to beat this guy?
Literally coming out of a fucking daydream and back up in seconds. Jeez.
But anyway.
Yep, Chompy gets floor flipped after it gets counted out, and it loses a tire in the process.
Oh, God, to be honest, it was at this point it was midnight. And I was watching this episode on 1.25 speed, so I was like, okay, it's clear who's won the fight. Next match, next show.
Yeah, so...
Because at that point, I was enthusiastic to watch Heath H.
Ah, oh, bless. Yeah, so it loses a wheel, and then Destructive Criticism nicely puts the wheel in the pit while Sir Kill-A-Lot puts the rest of Chompalot in the pit.
Right.
So it was nice of him to clean up after himself.
Yep.
But that was Heat G.
Indeed.
Wouldn't say it was the worst episode so far.
The general quality of Robot isn't actually that bad. It's a nice episode. It's gonna. Even the guys who went out in the semifinal, we know Runaway's a good robot. It's maybe suffering a little bit from Chaos 2 syndrome.
Mm.
But it's a great robot, and we're not just saying that because we like the team.
We're not saying that because they're friends of the show.
No. Runaway would easily win if, say, for instance, they were facing a giant wedge that looks like a bunny, a slightly small dome-shaped robot, a robot with axes that couldn't cut through paper, a jaw robot that doesn't do any jawing, a stupid wedge with the fucking weirdest flipper imaginable, or the robot that appears to be doing everything through treacle.
All that and more next week on Rise of the Robots.